On February 5th, 128 members of Congress introduced the Government by the People Act in the U.S. House of Representatives. Among that number was only one lonely Republican, Walter Jones of North Carolina. The bill is a response to the Supreme Court Citizens United decision of January 2010, which declared that corporations are people and money is a form of protected free speech which may not be regulated by government. The proposed Government by the People Act creates the Freedom from Influence Fund that matches contributions of up to $150 to participating candidates on a 6-to-1 basis. It provides a $25 refundable tax credit for small contributions and enhanced matching funds in the final 60 days of a general election campaign. The Act also institutes what it calls people PACs, or small donor committees, that aggregate the voices and power of ordinary citizens to counter wealthy donors. Two previous bills designed to rein in the impact of unlimited millions of dollars being spent by corporations in elections did not get far in Congress. But John Sarbanes, a Democratic representative from Maryland, the main sponsor of the Government by the People Act, spoke with Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus about why he believes the environment in Congress to pass such legislation may be more favorable now than in the past, though he also thinks his bill is unlikely to win passage in this current session of Congress.
We're ready to move forward from this point. We're really at the starting gate now of, I think, an effort to build momentum across the country among the public that is very angry and fed up with Washington and would like to see major change to the way campaigns are funded. And we think we can build that momentum and sustain it so that when the window of opportunity presents itself to bring a bill like this to a vote and be successful, we'll be ready to take advantage of that. We've been working with our colleagues for almost 2 years in pulling this bill together. It reflects that there are many outside organizations that are part of a really unprecedented coalition that have also been pushing hard on members of Congress to join this effort.
Do you see any changes over the past couple of years that might make your bill more successful than a couple of previous bills that were introduced to respond to Citizens United, but, you know, they really didn't get much traction?
People are increasingly angry at this sense that they can't be heard in Washington, that they're being left out, their voices are being rolled over by super PACs and big money interests here. And any polling you do, I mean, they just recently did polling in the last couple of weeks, and in free response, the biggest problem people cited was government. And so there's a real, I think, cynicism out there and distrust that government is really working for the people. And the challenge for us is, where do we take that anger and that sense of frustration?
John Sarbanes, please describe what's in your bill.
It does three things. It creates what we call the My Voice Tax Credit, which is a $25 tax credit available for contributions to congressional campaigns, and this would empower everyday citizens to participate in campaigns and the funding side of campaigns, and I think be very empowering for them. Secondly, it establishes the Freedom from Influence Matching Fund. That's what we're calling it, which is matching dollars that come in behind those small contributions and amplify them, boost up the voice of everyday citizens. And that combination of the tax credit plus the matching fund can really drive contributions so that candidates can raise sufficient dollars to run a viable campaign. And that's what will make them turn to the public. And the third piece is, we wanted to make sure that good candidates who participate in a system like this don't get wiped off the map in the final days of a campaign. So for participating candidates, there's going to be some additional resources they can access in the last 60 days in the home stretch of a general election campaign to help keep their voice in the game if super PACs or other outside groups come into that race. And so the combination of those three things, I think, really empowers everyday citizens to feel that their voice counts, that it matters.
Just on that last piece, I live in Connecticut, and we passed campaign finance reform several years ago, but there have been some recent changes that weaken it. The original law included extra payments if another candidate not using public financing came in with a lot of spending, And that was declared unconstitutional, or in any case, a court decided that it was not permitted. So isn't your third point the same?
It's like it, but we structured it so that it passes constitutional muster. And the way we do that is we don't differentiate on who can access those additional dollars in the last portion of the campaign. So regardless of whether a super PAC is coming after you or not, you can still pull the trigger on that additional support. But the way we've structured it is a candidate who chooses to do that will have to meet some additional requirements. And as a result, we think the ones that will actually take advantage of it are the ones who really are in danger from the super PAC spending. So we've managed to avoid the constitutional issue, but still make it available some meaningful support for candidates in that last stage. But it's a good question, and it's something that we made sure we took a look at.
You mentioned these other grassroots groups that are organizing around this issue. Is your hope that groups and individuals who live in Republican districts can pressure their representatives to support this legislation?
We have all the traditional good government groups are part of this effort, the Common Causes of the World and Public Campaign and Public Citizen and so forth. And you'd expect to see them there, and they've been leaders for decades. But now we have organizations like the NAACP, Sierra Club, and Communication Workers of America, and other labor organizations that are also coming to this effort because they've recognized that the change they want to see on behalf of their members is being thwarted by the influence of big money. And so they need to make reforming the way campaigns are funded a part of their advocacy. And it's the presence of groups like that who can bring to bear, I think, significant pressure in districts all across the country that will help us build additional support for this within the chamber. I also want to mention that polling data suggests that a majority of Republicans want to see this kind of change. And as a result, I think you'll see Republicans in Congress, even if they don't embrace our bill or sign on to our bill, they will be putting forward proposals that reinforce the narrative of our bill. And in that sense, we'll give additional momentum to it.
That was Democratic Representative John Sarbanes of Maryland, the main sponsor of the Government by the People Act, which was introduced in Congress on February 5th. For more information on the proposed bill, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.